Well, I'm thankful this morning for that the Lord is in the life-changing business. That song that we heard this morning, Jesus has a vested interest in changing your life. He has a vested interest in changing my life. And I believe He takes great joy in bringing us to a place of joy. And I'm thankful for that today. I'd like to start off, or maybe continue along, with some of the thoughts we had this morning. The scripture in 1 John 1 and 1, not 1 John, the Gospel of John 1 and 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And what was the last part of that?
And the Word was God.
And the Word was God. And you know what a wonderful privilege we have this morning? We have the Word.
Yes,
we have, how do you say, we have God. We have
history.
What God is. Go ahead.
History.
We are a blessed people. God was from the very beginning. The Word is God, He's with God, and the Word, it said, is God. But you know that we have an enemy today that is seeking to take away that which the Lord would give us. There's also a scripture in 1 Peter 5 and 8 that says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And I believe that this morning that the enemy is real. I don't believe it's a story. I don't believe it's something that was made up. The spirit of the enemy in the world is real today.
Yes.
And the enemy, just as Jesus knows your name, so does the enemy. The enemy knows who you are. The enemy knows what you're about. And the enemy is out and in the business of subverting us from right. The enemy is out to distract us. The enemy is out to steal away the very seeds of truth that the Spirit sows before they have time to take root. The enemy is in the business of distracting us from what is right. He's in the business of confusing us. He's in the business of blinding our eyes. The enemy's in the business, and he's very successful. The enemy is very successful at what he does because he appeals to many of our natural inclinations. That happens often. Jesus offered some advice that I want to pass on and think about this morning. And that is, continue in my word. And I'd like to read that passage of scripture and work up to it. In the midst of confusion, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of the absence of positive feelings and high emotions, I want to encourage us all this morning with this simple peace of the Word of God. Continue on. Continue in my Word. That's simple. I'd like to start in the 8th chapter of John. In the 8th chapter of John, and we'll start in the 25th verse. John 8 and 25. "There were those that would do the Lord harm, that were not in agreement with the Lord, and they were questioning Him, and they said unto Him," in the 25th verse, who art thou?" And Jesus said unto them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him." They understood not that He spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The account that we read this morning starts out, and the people asked Jesus, they said, Who are you? Why do you think they asked Jesus who he was? Do you ask everybody that you see on the street, Who are you? I don't. I suspect you don't either. But you know, there was something about Jesus. There was something about his personality. There was something about the word that came out of his mouth. There was something that reached to the depths of the hearts of the people that heard what he said that caused them to take note. And they came to the place and they said, Who are you? Who are you? What are you? Where did you come from? What are you about? You know, whenever you go to work in a new place, Colin just worked in a new place, never had been there before, right? And when you got there, I suspect that there were times where you asked the question, or you thought in your mind, who is that? Who is that person? You know why we ask those questions when we start working somewhere? A lot of times because we want to know, do I have responsibility to that person? Who is that over there? Oh, well, that's the boss man. Okay. You're going to remember that. Who is that? Or somebody that may be talking or seem to have influence or maybe that's causing trouble. You say, who is that over there? You're interested because you want to try to correlate the information of who they are to what they're saying. Jesus had things he was saying that caught and captured the attention of those that were around him. And so they asked the question, who are you? And you know what Jesus' answer was? I am the same person that I said I was from the very beginning. That's who I am. I haven't changed at all. In fact, in verse 58, if you look to the end of this chapter, Jesus said, Before Abraham was, I am. I remember talking about this in Gina one time. It struck, that little scripture has caught my attention. I'm one, my children can attest, I'm one for proper grammar. Now, I probably just set myself up. As you get up here and you start talking. But I'm interested in having things grammatically correct. But if you just read that, Before Abraham was, I am. Now, how often have you heard that turn of phrase before? That would have captured my attention if one of my children said that. So, what did you say again? Before Abraham was, you am? Abraham lived a long time ago. So how can you be I am when Abraham was a hundred thousands of years before you? But you know it's grammatically correct? That is grammatically correct coming from Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus has not changed. His word has not changed. People come to Jesus and say, Who are you? I can hear the Lord saying, I'm the same person that was from the very beginning. The people that you look back to, Moses that you look to as being followers of Moses, which I believe they said somewhere along in here, or maybe it was in the next chapter. He said, I was before they ever came into being. I was and I am. And I believe many people today inside ask themselves the question one way or another, Lord, who are you? And really, what it gets to is, Lord, if you are God, if you are the Creator, if you are the Word, if you are truth, if you are everything that truth embodies, And you created me. What is the next question? It was alluded to this morning. Why do people want to veer away from the truth of the fact of the matter that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in the beginning He created everything? What is the next? What is the next logical question to ask? Lord, if You're my Creator, if you're over all of this, and You created me, and truth is who You are, what responsibility do I have then before You? What do You want from me now that I begin to perhaps understand a little bit of who You are and what You are? Oh Lord, what responsibility do I have now to You? Jesus is an unchanging God, is an unchanging, constant, uncompromising God. Never deviates from truth. Predictably true and right. And did you know that the Lord wants that from us today? He wants us to begin to take on who He is. His Word in our life. What He brings to us. He wants us to take it on. He wants us to be His temple, where He then comes in and is what then comes out. Well, one of the children the other day said that, reminded us that somebody asked what our religion was. What do you believe? And another one of the boys thought he had answered for him and spoke up and said, "Oh, they're one of those people who believe that you're supposed to live things just like the Bible says you're supposed to live." That's right. What's so confusing about, what's so far out about that? Oh, he's one of those people that thinks that whatever the Bible says, that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah, that's right. That's my test. That's what we believe. Because it's timeless. It doesn't change. It's truth. It's the Word. It's the way of life. It's what leads us to everlasting life. And when we begin to get off course and we begin to take in all that the enemy would try to capture our attention with, and get carried away with the way that I think is right. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Because the way that naturally comes to me, the way that I would naturally think, is not consistent with the way of the Lord. He said His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And yet we live in a society where the masses, where the multitudes would sit down and be ready to expound to us what is right and what is wrong, when they're not filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And they're so confident. And they're so sure of themselves. That's why, we've talked about it here before, that's why there's churches on every corner. It's why you can go to all different kinds of places and hear all different kinds of doctrines. It's because people begin to believe that they understand what is truth. This is what is right. Folks, this here is what is right. This is the truth. This is the Word. This is God. This is the way that's right. And if it's not in here, and it's not supported by the truth and the Word, we're going to get in trouble. We're going to go off base. We're going to find ourselves void of truth, and we're going to find ourselves suffering the consequences that are associated with living in a manner that's inconsistent with truth. Before Abraham was, I am. God is unchanging. He's uncompromising. Brother Edgar mentioned at the end of this, the lesson that we had this morning, there's going to come a time when we're going to stand before the Almighty God at judgment. Every one of us. And in the Shreveport congregation is not going to show up as the Shreveport congregation. And the Lord's not going to stand there and say, okay, Shreveport congregation, here is what I have. Here is my judgment to you. And Gina congregation in Prattsville. And the Guthrie congregation in Jefferson, here's that isn't going to be how it works. We're going to each stand before the Lord. And He's going to say, Jonathan, you're up now. Here's the book of Jonathan that was written. Here's what it says. And you know what you're going to be judged against? You're going to be judged against the Word of God. The Word that doesn't change. The Word that's timeless. The Word that's uncompromising. Oh, so many times we try so hard as people. And I'm speaking in a general sense. But we try so hard as people to customize and to modify and to try to fit the Word of God to what I want to do and to how I want to live and to what my affections are drawn to and what seems right to me. Because, you know, whenever we begin to get off of what seems right to me, it causes us to feel a great deal of insecurity and fear. Because now we're in territory that is outside of the way that I think and that I want. And when I see a way before me that is not what I want, it is human nature for us to try to fix things so that we get them back in the way, in alignment with what I want and what I think ought to be. But do you know that that's not how we're going to be judged according to? We're going to be judged according to truth. We're going to be judged according to the truth that the Lord brought to us and that His Holy Spirit brought and spoke to our hearts and to our souls and to those that were faithful in our lives that came and brought the Word of God and taught it. And there's so many people today, I've seen it. Saints, I've seen it in my short time frame, my short lifespan in this life. I'm 41 years old, and most of you here are older than I am, except for the young people. I'm just a little older than the young people. That's what I like to think of anyway. But I haven't been here that long. But did you know that I have seen, in my lifetime, I've seen changes from when I was a teenager. I see the world, and I see people in our own church body, family, if you will, where more and more and more there's more questioning. Questioning is fine. We need to question. We need to get personal convictions. We need to dig deep. We need to know why. We need to have an answer. The Lord, the Scripture teaches us that. But folks, we're getting more and more into territory where people are challenging, where they're bringing direct challenges against what the Word of God has already spoken. People are becoming more and more bold and assertive in challenging what the Word of God and what the principles of the Scripture teaches. And I want to say this morning in the fear of God, it will end in destruction. It will end in eternal death if we go down that road. If we don't live according and we don't pay attention to the Word that the Lord sends us, speaks to us with His Spirit. The Lord sends faithful ministers our way. And people today, the Scripture tells us that in the last times, it tells us, it speaks about children being disobedient to parents. But you know, it goes further than that. It's a disregard for authority in general. And more young folks come and they hear somebody that is older, somebody that the Lord has given His truth to share, and it is, well, that's just their opinion. That's just them. This is between me and the Lord, and it's just them. Did you know that the Lord destroyed? He mount parables, and He destroyed those people who cast away the word of His servants. When He sent the word to His servants to go spread the news, and they treated them spitefully, and they didn't pay attention, the Lord had judgment upon them because He sent His word. Folks, the Lord is faithful to send us His word through people, through His Spirit, through the Word of God. And the Lord wants us to take heed to it and to pay attention and to realize it isn't going to change with the culture. It isn't going to change as people's ideas change. The Lord is not going to change His stand just because people don't view it the same as they used to. There's so many things that are happening today. And I'll just say two of them. Piercings and tattoos are two of them. Years ago, when that happened, it was looked at a certain way because the Scripture teaches us some things that would guide us into truth. But today, people don't view those things like they used to. They don't view them as sin and wrong and bad like they used to. And so people can say, well, look, we don't think about it the same as we used to. We don't view it like that. Our heart's not where your heart was, so it's not so wrong for us. Listen, it goes way beyond piercings and tattoos. The Word of the Lord speaks and teaches us how to live in every area of our life, that we're the temple of the Lord, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and if any man defile the temple, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And we begin so many ways to take truth and righteousness and holiness, and we begin to think about it differently. And then we say, well, we don't think about it the same as we used to, so we must be okay. Listen, God does not change. His truth doesn't change. His word doesn't change. Time does not mean to the Lord what it means to me. He wrote this. He wrote and gave us the gospel, and He gave us the word, and He told us, and before Abraham was, I am. So how can we say this doesn't apply today when maybe it applied in a greater way when Jesus was here? When He tells us, before Abraham was, I am. Well, what does that say about what He told us then? It's applicable today. It's for us today. It's the truth. It's the word. It's life for us today. And the enemy can come in so often and try to take away the word that the Lord has given us. The enemy comes in and tries to steal it away any way that he can. When the word comes, when the Spirit deals with your heart, when the word comes over the pulpit, when you read the word and you're in the privacy of your own home, or in your private closet, and the Lord begins to speak to you, the enemy is there to try to take it away or try to overwhelm us with the reality of the responsibility that we have before God. You know, Jesus went on to say, I have many things to say and to judge of you. Right here where we read that, they said, who are you? And He said, I'm the same person that I was from the beginning. And I have many things yet to say and to judge of you. You know, when I think about that, and I think about who the Lord is and who I am the created, I am not the creator. And He says, and I have a lot to say to you, and I have a lot to judge of you. That is sobering to me. It causes great pause in my heart and my mind. Lord, You are God. And You have many things to say to me. And You have many things to judge of me. Lord, help me to hear what it is You're trying to say to me. Because when the time of judgment comes, I don't want the Lord to say, You didn't listen. I tried to tell you. I tried to tell you over. I had a lot of things to say to you. And I tried in so many ways. I tried to give it to you in my word when you read it. I tried to give it to you. I tried to give you my word and the truth through other people. I tried to give you the word and the truth from the Spirit of the Lord and my faithfulness to you. But you wouldn't hear it. And now there's a judgment. Now there's a judgment at hand. Because you were so set in the way that you thought you wanted to go. And you were so set in the way that you thought ought to be right. Oh, listen this morning. Be sobered. Pause before the Lord. Come before Him with humility. Come before the Lord with a prayer. Lord, help me to continue in Your Word. Not the way I think. Not the way that would be more pleasant for me to go in life. Lord, help me to get beyond that. Help me, Lord, to continue on in Your Word. You know, when He said here, He told the Jews, He said, if you, those which believed on Him, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him. He was talking first. He was addressing those that didn't believe on Him. That's who He was addressing. And those are the ones that said, who are you? What are you about? By what authority? I'm taking a little liberty here, but those are some of the things they've asked Him before in other scriptures. Who are you? Who are you to tell us what you're telling us? He was saying that to the unbelievers. And then He said, I'll tell you who I am. I'm the same person that I told you that I was from the beginning. And you'll know that what I tell you is from the Father. There'll come a time when there won't be any misunderstanding. There won't be any misconception. You will know who I am. This morning, everybody that is here, there will come a day where we will know who He is with no question at all. And it will become very crystal clear to all of us what His expectation was of us. And it won't be different than the expectation that He communicates to us in this life. The difference is whether we'll hear it now or whether it'll be too late for us to realize, oh Lord, You meant what You said. You're carrying through with what the Bible said. Lord, why didn't I take it at more face value? Lord, when You said it, why didn't I just believe it? When He told those that were not believers, He told them who He was, He gave them some instruction, and then He turned. He turned to the Jews that believed on Him. And He said, if you continue in My Word. When I hear those particular words put together, if you continue, then, number one, it's a conditional statement. It's an if and then statement. If you do this, then this will happen. But why did He even start with the conditional statement? Why didn't He just say to the believers, your end is going to be that you'll have been My disciples? That's not what He said. He didn't say, I'll see you all at the judgment and all will be well. He didn't say that. He said, if you continue. See? Why would He say, if they were already going that way, why would He say, if you continue? And the fear of the Lord, I'll tell you one of the reasons why I think He did. It's because people will start out following after the Word. But the enemy comes and he'll steal away if you'll let him. You have to let him. There's nothing else that can separate you from the love of God except you let the enemy have some rights in your life. And He said, if you continue, that challenges me. It means that every person in here this morning, there is an opportunity for you not to continue in the way of the Lord. There is that option. As long as there is life and as long as there is breath, you have the option to not continue. And the enemy would like to come along and either discourage us because it seems overwhelming. I mean, it is. You read all of this. There's a lot here, but the Lord didn't mean for it to be overwhelming. He meant for it to be words of life that when we begin to say, yes, Lord, I want it. Yes, this is, Lord, it's the Word. I want this to be who I am. I want You to be in me. Help lead me. The Lord has promised to lead us. He's promised to help us to grow in grace, not be overwhelmed, not look at it and say, oh my goodness, there's no way I can do all of this, and we just throw up our hands. The enemy would like to overwhelm us sometimes and say, how can you possibly do all that? You might as well just forget it. And there are people that become overwhelmed and they walk away from it because it just seems too big to them. And the enemy just tries to cause confusion. Jesus said, continue. If you just continue, keep going. Go back to the Word. The enemy comes along through other people and all of the wisdom of the world and begins to debate, begins to question, begins to put forth words that sound good. And they sound good to the ears, and they seem to make sense. And it seems to fit in more with how the masses are living. They say, yeah, that sounds more realistic to what the Lord would want from us. Be careful. You might be the only one. You might be the only one left standing. Continue in the Word. Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. Don't waver. There will be many that will come and are coming and are among us all around that are bringing things that are not consistent with the Word. You press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Press towards it. Seek it. Don't cast away your profession of faith. Hold on to it. The Scripture says, if ye continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed. I want to continue in the Word. I want to obey. I want to come back to it. I want to be made free. The Lord wants to bring areas in our lives that perhaps we're blind to. He wants to bring spiritual sight to us. He wants to bring healing. He wants to show us the way. I want to end this morning and remind you of the story that is in the very next chapter of John. The very next chapter of John, in the ninth chapter of John, there was a man that was blind, and we won't read it all for the sake of time. But Jesus was passing by, and his disciples were with him, and they saw a man that was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked Jesus, they said, Master, what sin did he do? And Jesus said, well, he didn't do any sin. It was made this way for the glory of the Lord. And he came to the man, and do you remember what he did to the man that was blind? This is not the first time Jesus did this to a blind man. I think there's a reason for it. I've gotten a lot of good lessons out of it. This man couldn't see. He was blind. He needed help in his eyes. They needed to be cleared up. And when the Lord passed by to this man, did Jesus whip out the saline solution? Say, here, let me squirt some purifying some water in your eyes. Let me clean them up a bit. What did Jesus do to the man? Yeah. Well, this guy he couldn't see, and Jesus came along and he spit in the ground, which is the first thing that, you know, if you're going to make clay, I would rather you make it with some clean water. But he spit in the ground, and he made some clay, and he put it on his eyes. To our way of thinking, it's like, Lord, you're going to make his eyesight worse. He already has trouble with his eyes. He doesn't need it full of contamination and infection and mud and grit. And he's going to be in worse shape now than he was before. This isn't going to help him. And did you know that the enemy tries to tell us that so many times? When the Lord comes along to touch us, we look at him and say, whoa, that isn't... Lord, the way you just described isn't going to help. That's not the way that I need help. That's not the way my children is going to help them. That's not what's going to help the church. Lord, that's not going to help further me in life. I need this to happen so that I can better see. And so often, that's what we do. We put our hand out to the Lord in the way that He wants to work and what He tries to tell us. And there's a way that seems right to me. And we say, no, Lord, is there a different way? I'm going to go this way. And please come with me. The Lord's not going to follow you your way. He has a way that works. It's truth. And He took that was of Him. Jesus took and He spit. He took that was part of who He was. And He made a clay and He put it on the man's eyes. And He said, now, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, the man could have said, I'm going over there to wash. I'm going to find the closest place. I'm going to get this stuff out. And you know, next time you come by, maybe you have a different option. No, he did just exactly what the Lord said. He followed His word. He continued in the word. In fact, in the 11th verse, it said, and he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. Well, this is after he could see again. He did what the Lord told him to do. He came seeing, and it disrupted all these people who didn't like it. And they began saying, well, who did this? What happened to you? What was his name? Well, I don't know. He was a prophet. And then he said, the man just told me, go to the pool of Siloam and washed. Listen to this last phrase. And I went and washed and I received sight. That simple. I went because he told me to go. I washed because he told me to wash. And now I see. Just that simple. I did what he told me to do. I followed his word. This is what Jesus told me to do, and I did it, and it worked. Well, that disrupted. They didn't like that. They didn't like the answer they got. So they went to his parents and said, is this your son? Could he see when he was a boy? No. Well, who is it that caused him to see? Well, they didn't want to be cast out of the synagogue. So they said, well, he's of age. Go ask him. They didn't want to answer that question. So they went back to him. And they asked him again. And he answered and said, They asked him, well, was he a sinner? Or suggested that Jesus was a sinner and that he should praise God. And he said, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But here's one thing I know. I used to be blind and now I see. That's one thing that I know. And then he kind of gave him a little bit of a bad time and said, well, maybe you want to believe on him too. Maybe you ought to go, you know, have a little more interaction with him. Maybe you'd like to believe on him. Well, that's not what they were interested in. But pretty soon they cast him out. And Jesus came and he found him again. And he said, do you believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? That makes chills go down my back. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Oh, I want to believe him. Who is the Lord? Who's Jesus? Who, Lord, would you show him to me? Show me the way so that I can go that way. Lord, that's the way I want it. Show me, and I'll go that way. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee? And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. Listen to what this says. That they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Do you think you see this morning? Do you feel like you've got it all figured out? Do you have a way that's your way that you look to first, and then you try to use the Bible to maybe back up what you already want to do? You know, there's two ways of doing things. You can either put all of your way to the side and come completely neutral before the Lord and His Word and say, Lord, show me the way, and that's the way I'll go. What is the way? And look into the Word to find the way. And then go that way. You can do it that way. Or you can decide what your way is. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to live. This is what seems right to me. This is where my affections are going to. And then you can go to the Bible and see what you can find to support what it is you've already decided that you want to do. That's a trick of the enemy. And we fall for it so often. Those that think they see already are going to be made blind. But those that recognize their need, those that come before the Lord and say, Lord, without you, I am nothing. Lord, help me to lay my way to the side. Help me to be willing to let my blind eyes be anointed with that may at first seem to be aggressive to my eyes, that might not be pleasant, it might be painful because it might change the status quo in my life. Lord, help me to be willing to do that. Help me to have open ears to be obedient to your word and to the way that you would have me to go. Simple message this morning is continue in the word of the Lord. No matter what happens, no matter how you feel, no matter how many people go a different way, no matter if the way of the Lord begins to look different than the way that you're going, if you come across times where you're confused and you're not sure and you can't make sense of it all and you don't understand it all, the simple message that the Lord brings is just continue my word. Just go back to it. Don't let it get more complicated than it needs to be. Just continue in my word. And if we do that, if we seek the Lord with all of our heart, if we say, Lord, help me to see your word through your eyes. Help me to see it like you want me to see it. Lord, help me to know the way that I should take. We'd have the prayer of the man that's sight was restored. Lord, who is he that I might follow? Lord, what is your way that I might adopt it in my life? I want that prayer to be my prayer. And I want it to reflect the way that I live. So that every day I can get up. And as Lamentations said, let us search our ways. Search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. I want to continue in the word of the Lord, because if I do, the Lord promised. He said, you'll be my disciples. Amen.